Hello world, it's Friday, February 26th. I'm Colin.
And I'm Kenny.
This is HNTLDR. Kenny, how's it going?
Pretty good today on this nice Friday morning, but HN is a little slow, I gotta say. There's not a ton going on right now.
A little sleepy, which I think it's a regression to the mean because yesterday there were some pretty dominant stories which we covered. You know, the two S1s got great play on HN, as you'd expect. And then the top story, which we didn't cover because it came out after we recorded yesterday, the Framework laptop did remarkably well. 2,200 points, which is just gigantic. It's still hanging out on the front page, even after, you know, 21 hours or however long it's been there. And yeah. It's pretty cool. Did you check it out?
Not really. What is it?
It's like a new laptop. It's like a Mac, but you can replace the parts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So kind of a modular computer.
Yeah. I don't know. Modular is a strong word. Okay. They definitely, you know, you can open up the bottom of it. That's fun. Every part has QR codes on it. You can scan it with your phone and it pops you into the order page to get replacement parts. Kind of like that. They have, there's basically four bays along the side of it where you can fully customize which sets of ports you want. So any of the bays can be, let me get the final list here. You can select from USB-C, USB-A, HDMI, DisplayPort, microSD, ultra-fast storage, high-end headphone amp, and more. And so you can just like pick and choose exactly what you want. I thought that was pretty neat.
That's pretty sweet.
But besides that, it just looks just exactly like a Mac, which I think is a great move in general. Except they've got their cool Gear logo. It's kind of like soft edge Gear logo, you know, in that kind of like chrome finish instead of, you know, yeah, in the middle of the, you know, brushed aluminum instead of the Apple. And yeah, I mean, good, you know, absolutely, you know, more power to them. I hope this works.
Yeah, that's cool.
All I could, yeah, shipping summer 21. So I put in my email address and I'll keep tabs on it.
Well,
I didn't actually look into the operating system. Is this just going to be Linux? I don't. Yeah. Okay. You can choose Windows or install your preferred Linux distribution. So.
Okay.
I don't know.
Sweet.
Yeah. I good for them.
Yeah. Well, in something that didn't make Hacker News, interestingly enough, there's big Twitter news out yesterday, actually right after we recorded, which is that Twitter is finally going to start doing some paid stuff.
Mm.
And the first thing out of the gate appears to be in a small beta, but it's called Super Followers, Super Follows. And it is a way for, like, one person can super follow somebody else, which is like paying for their content. So it allows Twitter users to charge followers and give them access to extra content. The content could be bonus tweets, community groups, newsletter subscriptions, or a badge in this first version.
Yeah, this is really interesting. So they just announced this at an investor event, right? They don't have any like launch date.
I guess so.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's
no timeline for when the features will launch.
Right. So it's interesting because, all right, there's some difference then between, yeah, you know, I'm looking at this screenshot, this marketing screenshot. There's some difference between subscriber only newsletters and exclusive content. So I guess the exclusive content is tweets. You can have like Substack, but for tweets, but you can also just have Substack, but with, you know, a newsletter. So you like Twitter is going to have some sort of authoring interface, I guess, to actually write.
They just bought that newsletter.
Review. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And they moved fast on that. Well, I guess this is just an announcement, but I guess it's, it's cool to see this like whole product line kind of, you know, happen inside of Twitter from the acquisition all the way to this announcement.
Yeah. People have been wanting them to do some sort of paid version for a long time in various different ways. So I'm glad to see they're trying it.
I think it's cool. I'm excited to see this happen.
Yeah. It could be interesting.
Yeah. The, something else that kind of dovetails with this was, the reemergence of a pretty famous like blog post that, you know, been floating around for, I guess, 12 years now, 13 years, called 1000 True Fans, which is pretty good. Basically, it's just making the argument that, you know, to like make a living, you know, doing anything, whether you're like a musician or an open source software person, or, you know, a creator of any sort, all you really need is 1,000 people who are true fans. And true fans are defined by people who will basically buy or consume anything you produce. You know, they'll drive 200 miles to see you sing. They'll buy the hardback and paperback and Audible versions of your book, yada, yada. Maybe this doesn't actually apply to open source software, but paid software, maybe.
Sure.
And it's, you know, it's just like basically encouraging people that, like, if they want to make a living and, you know, if that's what they're trying to achieve instead of being famous or, you know, some huge celebrity, you know, influencer, whatever, all you really need is, you know, this 1,000 people, and that's like achievable. Like, you can do it, you know, you can do it by hand or like, you know, manually, like just like get 3 people a day, you know, add a lot of value to them, or like, you know, whatever, for a year. And if you're able to like win over 3 people a day, then, you know, you can like have a living for potentially a long period of time. I think it's interesting.
Okay. Interesting. So I think I've got about 9,905 to go, probably, something like that.
Just 995.
Wait, how many?
You only need 1,000.
How many? Oh, I only need 1,000. What did I say? I thought I needed
9,905.
No, I only need 1,000. Oh, that's nothing. I can get 1,000.
You get it. You get the point. It's so little.
I can dupe 1,000 people. Come on. Come on. How hard could it be?
I know. So obviously they haven't yet renamed this to, you know, renamed this blog post from 1,000 True Fans to 1,000 Super Followers, but they'll get there. They'll catch up.
Cool. What else you got?
There's an article on here, A Solo Journey to 100K in Sales, by this guy who makes Dracula, which is like a syntax highlighter, like a syntax theme.
Yeah, I saw that headline, and then I clicked on that article, and then I saw that it was a syntax highlighter, and then I lost interest.
You lost faith in humanity.
No, I mean, I guess that's cool. I use an IDE that has its own syntax highlighting.
I think you can import this. I think.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, but basically, I don't know. So when I was building my website, I found like some, you know, React component that can render code. And it let you basically like import your own syntax highlighter, you know, so you could use whatever you want. I think I am using Dracula, if I'm not mistaken, just because it looks really good. So I don't know, this guy, like, you know, he definitely made a good product. All the other ones are kind of wonky to me, at least based on my experiences, like coming from, you know, just, you know, using like Sublime and VS Code primarily for my whole career as a developer. So this guy, you know, is good at syntax highlighting. Good for him. This blog post, I wish it had more of a narrative to it. It was just like, it broke down the previous like year into like, you know, chunks of a few months each, and then like explained the sales over those chunks that he received, you know, had a bunch of like tweets from that period that he embedded into the blog post, and then like a little section on lessons learned, but it didn't have any like text to, I don't know, walk you through the story here, you know, to have kind of a narrative thread. So I found it kind of hard to get through. I would prefer something more traditional blog posty, I think.
Right. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, this guy,
that's cool.
I mean, his journey to 100,000 in total revenue, you know, 87,000 of that happened between August and December 2020. I guess that's August, September, October, November, December. I guess that's 5 months. But anyway, it's all very backloaded. And now he's got like a lot more consistent revenue than he did at the beginning. So yeah, he's going to keep on making more and more money. And good for him. Glad it's working.
Yeah.
But don't forget, you know, the lesson he really should have learned. Well, he didn't, because he's survivor bias. But the lesson that everyone listening to this podcast should take away is never be a solo founder and just run away. Because it's not worth it. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
You know? All right. Solid lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Okay. Let's enter a show HN speed round.
Okay.
First up, people on HN are freaking out about a thing called Red Bean, uploaded 12 hours ago, already has over 1,000 points. And it is a single file distributable web server. So you can package up a bunch of stuff into a single file and share it and let other people run web applications offline from their computer, from just like basically just a single file. And people are just freaking out about how it's like a C library that compiles once and will run anywhere, which never happens.
Never. The first comment, which I think you're somewhat alluding to, is just like, oh my God, oh my God, this is magic. This is the best development I've ever seen. This is absurd. It's just like, you know, I don't think I have the background to really appreciate what she's done here. This is from Justine dot LOL is her website, and her most recent tweet from 9 hours ago is just like, I made it to the top story on HN again, you know, winky face or something. So she's clearly done it before as well. I hadn't encountered her before, but seems like a hell of a developer.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
I don't quite understand what it is. So it's a single file distributable web server. The way you use it is you download this file, you change the extension to .zip, and then you put a bunch of other files into the same directory as it, and then zip everything back up. Is that what it is?
Yes. Yes.
And then if it's a web server, then it runs on a machine and serves requests.
Correct.
Right? Okay. And there's a command line tool. Oh, I see. I can't tell how, you know, there's like flags here. There's like, you know, documentation for like how to configure this, like how to set the path or, you know, the port that it's serving at or the IP, whatever. But I don't know what the command line is, like how to actually use it.
I mean, I think my understanding is that it just acts as like an executable and you just like run the executable from your command line.
Okay.
And got it. That starts up the code that will serve the static files that are bundled within that same file.
Okay. Got it.
So the .com is
very cool.
Not really necessary, but
yeah, totally.
But cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's nicer. It's nicer than the Node.js version that I would have built. But is it better than, you know, Firebase hosting? Probably. The answer is yes, it is. Except for the part that it's server full. I don't know.
It's quite literally
another instance.
It's the opposite of serverless.
Right.
It's server only. It is a server.
Boo. Well, okay. Maybe she's made it easy enough. Good for her. All right, what's next? We suck at the speed rounds.
Yeah, the speed rounds is going pretty slowly. Next one is super fast. Somebody created a Chrome extension for viewing 3D CAD files within Gmail. So it's called Giga 3D CAD Viewer for Gmail. So normally when you send around STL files or any sort of like 3D CAD files, you have to download it and then open it in whatever 3D tool you want, or Mac has like a preview, has some 3D stuff built in.
Okay.
But this will just let you do it from Gmail. And as somebody who a couple years ago was sending around a lot of CAD files, this would have been very nice instead of having to download each one and take a look at it.
Right. Wow. Very cool. I like it.
Yeah. That's a quick and easy one. Next up, there's a cool thing called Notion.dog, which is a Notion to website converter. And these making websites out of popular note-taking tools is like a big thing right now. Like, the most famous one is Super, which I think we've talked about on the show before, which lets you take your Notion pages and convert them into static files, and then it hosts them and removes all of the like Notion cruft in the UI. This is like a open source version of that for Notion.
Oh, very cool.
I think it does seem, I don't know, I haven't dived into the code. I'm not sure if it actually hosts it as a static site or not. The thing about the cool, oh, it does say statically generated. Okay, look at that. The cool thing about Super, I'm a big fan of the people who are working on Super because it's just such a clean, a nice idea, seems fairly priced, and is like probably the fastest way to quickly make a decent looking website. Yeah. If you use Notion.
Yeah, it's very cool. You know, basically Notion acts as just like the WYSIWYG website editor.
Exactly.
And it's extremely good and, you know, increasingly powerful as they add support for, like, you know, they've got tables and databases and, you know, Kanban boards and all these, you know, things that you still can't even do on something like Squarespace.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So this is like a open source version that's free, but I guess you, if you don't want to go through the whole hosting your own domain sort of system, you have to use like a subdomain of something.notion.dog.
Got it.
In the way that they've set this up. But it's still cool that they've made this.
It is cool. Something else I learned, that there's a .dog TLD. I didn't know that.
Me neither.
That's huge. This is great. There's got to be a .cat, right? I mean, cats are like OG on the internet.
That's true.
It's like most of what the internet is. I've confirmed that it's real, but you can't get them on Google domains. Interesting.
Classic.
Yeah. Well, now we know.
Well, speaking of domain names, there's a one last show. HN is a free domain name appraisals website called Peer Ideas, peerideas.com. And they say it's for the domainer community by the domainer community.
Jeez. I did not know they call themselves the domainer community.
That's upsetting. So you can rate domains, basically.
Oh, and you like vote for them.
Yes.
Interesting. Some of these whosus.com. Some of these are pretty good. I wish you could see some numbers. Like, I would like to have a sense of like how much salebrew.com is worth. Like, I guess the appraisals are done privately, but
I think it actually just, it might need to wait, like that one, like whosus has like 3 days left for voting.
I see. And voting, okay, interesting. The apprenticemovie.com, Jesus. I wonder if that's like a harbinger of things to come. Trump is just going to start the Apprentice cinematic universe, start a movie studio. I hope not. But
hopefully not.
You know, it kind of sounds right now that I say it out loud.
All right, so I see we're way over time.
Indeed. That's the Friday, special Friday episode. Get some bonus content.
See you on Monday.
See ya.